What kind of year was it? What kind of year was 2025 for the Better Together Animal Alliance? Mandy Evans.
Yeah, it was an interesting year. I've been with BTAA now for 15 years on January 19th.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
And this last year, I have never seen so many puppies. We had
really
like a litter of new puppies almost every week. Yeah. Hmm. Insane. And like we can't take in puppies unless we have fosters because they're so vulnerable. So a big shout out to anyone who fostered puppies in 2025.
What contributes to this? Is there anything you can say? Here's why all the puppies are coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there has been in the last 10 years, there's been a 60% increase in the cost of veterinary care. And I think that's played a pretty significant role. So access to veterinary care is one of our priorities for that reason. And then because we have great clinics in town, and but there's not, I mean, there is a lot for the population, but sometimes getting into them has been difficult. So sometimes, you know, things happen while you're waiting for that appointment.
Huh. I mean, I don't want to get too lost in the weeds here, but a 60% rise in veterinary care expenses over the last decade.
Yeah, so the cost.
What drives that?
So there's been, since 2020, there was a reduction in, there's a few things.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a reduction in the number of veterinarians.
Mm-hmm.
So we need, for the amount of animals we have in our country, we need more veterinarians to care for them. And the veterinary colleges really only accept a small amount of people. Mm. So that does not equal the actual amount of veterinarians we need. So there needs to be a shift there. And then also the advancements in veterinary care. So everybody wants these advancements, right? Where you can take your animal in, like my daughter said the other day, because we have an old Chihuahua, and I said, I think she might be going blind. And she said, do they make contacts for dogs? And then she's definitely going deaf. She said, do they make hearing aids? And I was like, thank God, no, because the options are, you know, they're vast. And whenever you have that increase in accessible advanced medicine, clinics want to invest in that. And when they do, the cost of care can go up. And then the shortage in veterinarians means that whenever there's a shortage, you can charge more. So veterinarians, their salaries have gone up significantly, yeah. But so has vet techs, and yeah, all of it's just increased.
Yeah, is this an across the board increase, or is it mostly dogs and cats? I guess I think of in this area we have veterinarians who care for horses and other, you know, farm animals as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that mainly, I mean, from my knowledge, it's dogs and cats.
Yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure. The other factor is that there's a lot of the large firms, they're buying out small veterinary clinics. And the larger veterinary chains are usually about 15% higher.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Well, so and the result that you see, the first result that you see, I guess, is the increase in the number of puppies.
Yeah, we see an increase in the number of puppies and also an increase in the number of people who are seeking help with their veterinary bills because they just can't afford the cost.
Mm-hmm. Besides, I mean, you take in and the puppies have to go somewhere. The puppies can't, you don't keep puppies on site.
Right. Yeah. Right. So they have to go into a foster home. So as far as just responsible sheltering is when any animal enters our care, it's vaccinated right away. So for strays, we don't know what their vaccine record is. So we just have to assume that they haven't been vaccinated. We vaccinate right away.
Yeah.
With puppies, you can't vaccinate right away. There's a schedule. So depending on their age, they'll get their first vaccine. But I look at it kind of like Pac-Man. This is the way it was described to me, is that when you have your maternal, your mom's antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
So those antibodies, when that vaccine goes into the bloodstream, the mom's antibodies, they're going to eat it.
Hmm.
So you're looking for this period of time when those antibodies have waned enough that the vaccine will actually take hold. So that's why there's a series of vaccines that go from, I don't know the age. I can't remember the age, but, you know, it's one. You have your first one. That likely is not going to take effect. But some, if their mom didn't have strong antibodies, could take effect right away.
Hmm.
This is why you go in for multiple puppy and kitten vaccines.
Okay. Well, this reminds me of vaccinating a young human child.
Yes.
Which I'm a little more familiar with. The increase in puppies was kind of a headline. What else in 2025? Anything new, different, or in what ways was 2025 a special year for the animal shelter?
We definitely increased how many spay neuter surgeries we did. Hmm. So we helped. If my numbers are correct, over 2,400. We did over 2,400 spay neuter surgeries. We started partnering with other area shelters to provide them with faster access to spay and neuter.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some of our smaller shelters, and this is Trax in Montana and Priest River, Post Falls, and they're waiting a month to get animals to be spayed and neutered. And I think that we can all agree that animals should not sit in cages longer than necessary.
Yeah.
And so we were able to receive a grant to expedite that so that they only were waiting a few days before they could get those animals spayed and neutered, and then they end up in homes faster.
Yeah.
And then we had a lot of cats and kittens this year. A lot. We had kittens constantly. We added some new people to our team who kept saying, when is kitten season ending? And then someone yesterday said to me, I don't think kitten season is ever going to end.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. It's been a busy year.
Mm-hmm. The cats you can keep, or the cats you will stay on site and you can, am I right? Some
yeah.
are anyway. Well, I know I've gone to visit the cat room. There's
yeah.
cats there.
Yeah. So kittens,
okay.
baby kittens are treated exactly the same way as puppies.
Okay.
So we rely on a large body of fosters,
mm-hmm.
foster homes that will come in and care for our baby kittens.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they're ready to be altered or spayed or neutered, we bring them in and
yeah.
they go on the adoption floor.
Okay.
And then our adult cats are on the adoption floor as well.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking of, maybe it was just a small breed of cat. I thought there was sort of a kitten in there, but or maybe it was just kind of juvenile.
Oh my God. We yeah. have, well, when you think of it, like kittens, again, I think it's like 3 months. I should know this, but I'm horrible with numbers. They, you know, you've got little itty bitty kittens. So if they're on the sale out there on the floor,
mm-hmm.
it's because they've been spayed, neutered, vaccinated, and they're ready to go. But they usually still require one more vaccine.
Okay.
So they can be itty bitty. We have a lot of itty bitty kittens out there
yeah.
that have, they're old enough, they've reached weight, and they get spayed, neutered, put up for adoption.
Hmm. You just said you're bad with numbers, but let me ask you something. The idea of dog years and cat years, is that something that you ever refer to at all? Like if you work with animals, is this something that is this just a kind of an old wives' tale or whatever, you know? Something that caught on once upon a time. You've heard,
of course,
seven
years
dog years or whatever. Yeah.
I have heard of it, but we don't reference it or
nobody
use
ever
it.
Really.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought. I've never really understood it. I don't know where exactly that comes from, but I guess it means something. Lots of kittens though. Kittens and so. Big kitten year, big puppy year.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. then this year, it was in the news, I guess. We, I think it was in October, maybe. We all at once had three different large cat colonies that needed help. So it was roughly at the time about 250 cats. There was a colony in Kerrywood where the owner died. There another colony in Sagal and another colony in Priest River. And we've made tremendous progress on each of these colonies. But the one in Priest River ended up being about 100 more cats than we thought. So we have been actively, thanks to all the support from the community, we've been actively spaying, neutering the ones that can go up for adoption on the adoption floor. We've been doing that. And the ones that are really wild cats, we spay, neuter, and then put them back.
Uh-huh. A cat. Okay. Let's tell this story. And forgive me, I guess, if you're repeating yourself, if you've already told this on the airwaves before. But a cat colony, how does a cat colony of consisting of hundreds of cats develop? And I don't know. And then how do you become aware of it, I guess?
Oh, Jack, it's the birds and the bees.
Okay. I guess we can all imagine to some extent how it develops. But like, how does it get to that size? And then suddenly somebody says, oh, there's a couple hundred cats over there.
Yeah. I think that the Priest River, if we're just focusing in on that, because there is a care provider there, I do think that it starts with the best intentions.
Yeah.
And then if you don't have the financial resources, you don't really know that your colony is multiplying.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember the ages, but a female kitten can get pregnant very young and have multiple litters in a year. And so it can escalate very, very quickly. And if these cats are being regularly, they're fed, they have a food source, they have a water source, they have a place that's safe and comfortable to sleep, they're going to stay and they're going to multiply.
Yeah. Like any form of life, yeah. I suppose. And these are outdoor cats, inside cats. I mean, they go in and out.
It's a mixture. There's a large quantity of cats that are living in the home.
Uh-huh.
And then a large, even larger quantity of cats living outside.
Wow.
So our job is to just assess, you know, it's not humane to put a feral cat, a wild cat on the adoption floor.
Yeah.
Because living in, cats are extremely sensitive. And if you put a cat in a cage and have people walking by when it's normally in the wild, their stress increases, illness happens. So the far more humane thing to do is to spay, neuter, and put them in the wild.
Yeah.
And these cats are super resilient. There's two documentaries out there. I think both were funded by the National Geographic that basically says that if everything went to hell in a handbasket, the world, everything started collapsing, the one species that would survive as the apex predator are cats. So, and cats live in everywhere in the world, outdoors. They're very resilient. If there's food and water, and they can't, if there isn't any in their place, they're going to go find it. So if you're feeding outdoor cats, the likelihood is that you're going to attract more outdoor cats.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And raccoons and skunks.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, which I guess brings me to a question. What do you recommend if you live in a neighborhood and a cat walks by without a collar and you see the same cat a few times, how do you treat it? Like just a wild animal? You say put something out for it or no?
No, I think it's a great, great question because even in animal welfare, we have found that we look at cats like we look at dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And if a dog is free roaming, you're like, wait, that dog has a home. It's lost.
Yeah.
Cats, the majority of cats in the United States are indoor, outdoor. Mm-hmm. The majority of cats that are around the world, we are the only nation, I guess, that has really prioritized indoor cats.
Hmm.
Most cats around the world live in and outside. So when you see a cat wandering and it's healthy, it looks, you know, its coat looks nice, the weight looks good, there's no visible signs of illness, that cat has a home.
Hmm.
and it's just out for a stroll. Mm-hmm. And there's been cats that we will see that have a collar, and then they go home and the person whose cat it really is calls the collared person, said, "That's my cat." So if there's outdoor cats, they may have more than one home.
Yeah.
But if they look good and they're being fed, and then if there's an ear tip, so if the top of one of the ears is off, that means that it's gone in and it's been spayed and neutered.
Huh. Well, okay. So that's a good sign to look for.
Yeah.
Look for, okay, one of the ears gets a little,
you just take that little top part of the ear off.
Okay.
It feels to them, it's like a scratch, but it allows them to not go through the trauma of being trapped and put under anesthesia to verify if they've been spayed or neutered.
Okay. Before moving on to some of our other talking points, anything else you want to say just about, I don't know, 2025, any other headlines you want to mention from the last year?
Let's see. I mean,
when was the big expansion of the, maybe that was 2 years ago, of the thrift store.
That was a few years back. Okay. And the, 2025 was a phenomenal year for the thrift store.
Yeah.
I think that we just had this conversation at work on how much we sincerely appreciate, like we view ourselves as having a partnership with our community. Like, we aren't above our community. We're not below the community. We feel like we are literally in alignment with the community to help each other. So the thrift store is the best example of that, because we would have no product if the community weren't donating it. And then people come in and buy that product, which then funds the work that we're doing to help animals. So the thrift store is thriving. We've had amazing donations throughout the year. We ended the year really strong, which allows us to forecast to be able to continue the work that we're doing.
I would think running a thrift store is a lot of work. Are you hands-on with that, or is that you more on the animal side?
Oh no, I'm everything.
Yeah.
No, the thrift store is a lot of work. Somebody made a comment about how in thrift stores in general their pricing is going up. Well, thrift stores, they have to increase pricing just like anyone else, because they're paying staff. And so we have a huge team in the thrift store. So all of that product that gets donated goes into the sorting area. It has to be sorted, hung, priced, packaged. If it's, let's say, Christmas right now, it's going to go into a storage area. So all of that requires a lot of hands-on work. Mm-hmm. Then the product goes onto the sales floor, and there's a color system. Mm-hmm. And so every week we have to remove one of the colors, whatever that color is, and then that goes into salvage. So that has to be baled, put into salvage, and then we have to work with companies to come pick that up so that we're not putting a bunch of stuff in the landfill. So we're extremely conscious of making sure that we're recycling as much as possible and not contributing to our garbage.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Mandy Evans. She's the executive director of the Better Together Animal Alliance. The main animal shelter in our area.
We're definitely the largest. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if there are others. I suppose there must be other small ones somewhere.
Yes.
Talking just about the year 2025, and now I guess moving on to 2026, and you mentioned already the puppies, the number of puppies that you have, and you have a bunch available coming up next week.
Oh, we have a litter that is absolutely adorable. They're like these little hound puppies, and look at the round ears, the droopy round ears with the little eyes. They are so, so cute, and they are going to be coming up available. And those usually go into the showrooms. So right when you walk in, you'll be able to see them.
Mm-hmm. I think if I was ever to get a dog, and someday I think I will, maybe when I retire, because I'll need somebody to walk with, and that'll be, I think a hound is what I would get. That's my favorite kind of dog.
They're so cute.
So that's coming up next week. What else is on the agenda, the upcoming agenda for for the animal shelter?
Well, we have the cake pull.
Yes, you do.
Cake pull is sponsored by Eichhart's Selkirk Press. I think Easy Dog is a part of it. It's a big, fun event that they, I mean, it sounds horrible because they harness dogs, tie, you know, kegs on the back of them and have them race. But the kegs are empty and most of the dogs have actually been practicing. And this is what they love it. So I've had, you know, you watch little chihuahuas and they've got like the little Heineken can on the back of them. And it's a super fun event. We're very lucky that we have these organizers so that we aren't responsible for doing it. We provide volunteers and then 100% of the funds raised come back to support our work. And that is on February 22nd.
That's what it says here.
Yeah. Yep. And it's in downtown right in front of Eichhart's. So I believe it's a Sunday. It's the last day of Winter Carnival.
Yeah, the end of Winter Carnival is, and it is kind of the grand finale. It's always fun.
Oh, it's so fun.
I am, I'm usually there. In fact, we've broadcast from there before. I don't know if we probably won't this year because the weather is always so iffy. It's very hard to plan for.
Yes. I mean, some years we've had rain. Some years they have to go up to Schweitzer and pile up snow. I always like to think that everything that we think of is like we take for granted. Like it's easy.
Yeah.
The amount of work that happens behind the scenes. And with the keg pull, when you don't have snow and you come out there and there's a bunch of snow, it's because of really amazing, dedicated people that went up to Schweitzer, filled up their trucks and came in.
Yeah. Drove it down.
Yes.
Yeah. It's it is quite a bit of work. Yeah. They start pretty early in the morning to get things all set up, and then it's a ton of fun.
Indeed.
So that's the end of Winter Carnival, February 22nd. Any other particular dogs or animals you want to bring to our attention who need homes or fostering?
We have the best dog in our care, and he has been with us for, gosh, I think 250 days, if not longer. His name is Axel. He's all over our social media. But I don't know why. I mean, he is a kind of a black, he's blackish, kind of some brown in there, and he's got white on his chest. But he is just a phenomenal dog, and he's overlooked. He has a lot of energy and super fun. So for somebody who wants a companion that maybe you hike, maybe you mountain bike, and you want a dog to run with you. But I think the part of Axel that's the most special is that he wants a person. He, like, I took him out one day and I was expecting just like this kind of rambunctious dog. And that's not what I got. He was really good on leash and all he wanted to do was lean against me while walking and then would make amazing eye contact. So I think just the training him, his recall, all of it is so great. And I just don't know why he's still there.
Huh. Okay.
It's frustrating for us because we see this wonderful dog and we can't like shake the community and say, adopt him.
Yeah. How old is Axel?
Oh, do we know? Gosh. I think
is there
he's
a way of knowing?
Two.
Okay.
So he's young enough to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of a bigger dog. He's got long legs, skinny, you know, not a big hefty dog. And just a sweet, loves to play ball, loves to, you know, he's the dog that's going to grab the stick and take everybody out on the path. He's just a really cool dog.
Well, if you're interested in Axel, get in touch with the Better Together Animal Alliance. What's the best way of doing that? Or what are the ways of doing that?
Yeah, you can come by. So we are open to the public from Monday through Saturday. Meeting animals is 12 to, this is so complicated, I apologize, everybody, guaranteed 12 to 4:30, Monday through Saturday, but on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we stay open till 6:30. And then we are open at 10, between 10 and noon for people who are picking up spay and neuter vouchers. We have a free food bank that's in the front lobby. Anybody that needs assistance feeding their pets can just come on in, no questions asked, and pick up food. So our lobby hours are different than our hanging out with the animal hours, which mm-hmm. creates some confusion. And then we're closed on to the public on Sundays. Obviously, we're there still to care for the animals and do deep cleaning on that day, but not open to the public.
Mm-hmm. We are going to pause and take a little musical break and come back, talk more with Mandy Evans about, among other things, the health benefits of animals. And if we have time, I have some other probing questions for Mandy. We'll see what we have time for. But first, it's time for a little Barry Manilow. As requested. Now, do you really like Barry Manilow, or you just like this song because of the name of the song?
Oh my God, I love Barry Manilow. My kids were laughing about how many lyrics they know.
Have you seen him? Have you?
Oh yeah,
you've seen him.
Yeah,
multiple times.
I've seen him twice.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was he everything? Everything you hoped for?
Yeah, but I was a lot younger. Uh-huh. I mean, I think I saw him twice before I was 15. Uh-huh. So it's been a while.
Okay. Barry Manilow with Mandy. We'll be back with Mandy here on The Morning Show in just a bit. Barry Manilow with perhaps his biggest hit, Mandy. Is that his biggest hit? Copacabana, maybe? I don't know. Yeah. But there you have it. Barry Manilow with Mandy. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson in for Chris and Susie. And we're talking to Mandy Evans, executive director of the Better Together Animal Alliance, which is the largest animal shelter in our area. And what we'd like to talk about now, transitioning into some health benefits of animals. We're trying to tell the listeners perhaps the listeners who don't have pets, a couple of reasons why they might want to get some.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Why would a person want to get a pet? So would it do what? I'll just read some of these questions. Do pets help their owners lower their stress and anxiety?
Yeah. So first, I just want to say that this information doesn't mm-hmm. just come from me. Mm-hmm. So there's a institute called the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, or HABRI, and they fund and curate scientific research that shows the human-animal bond delivers measurable physical, mental, and social benefits. And so because of this, everything I talk about is backed with data. Now, I'm not going to bust into, you know, all the data points, but if you want to dive into it more, you can go to HABRI, HABRI.org, and there is a ton of supportive information that you can learn. So for reduced stress and anxiety, so when people have an animal at home, they represent or they show lower anxiety levels, more feelings of love, more feelings of feeling cared for, reduced depression, and decreased heart rate. So I remember being in high school and you had to do the scientific project, and my friend's dad, our mom was a nurse, and he measured all these different things that you could do and which ones would reduce your heart rate. And I remember one was meditating and one was reading and one was just sitting and petting a dog. And that was the one that reduced your heart rate the most.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That will reduce stress, reduce your heart rate.
Yep.
Just
by petting a dog or a cat.
Well, okay. Huh. I guess I believe that. I can see how you get there.
I think that there's a soothing, like the fur mm-hmm. and all that, and the repetitive motion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that people, especially if you don't have pets or even like for me, there is a sense of increased stress and anxiety because you're worrying about another thing, another mm-hmm. being. But the health benefits show mm-hmm. that actually you know, might have aspects of that, but there's health benefits that contradict that.
So lower heart rate, lower stress. Other physical benefits of having a.
Oh my goodness! There are so many physical benefits. There's so many physical benefits. I had to go to the second page so I didn't miss it. So, I wrote this down really little. So when you walk a dog, it shows that there's reduced obesity when you're a dog owner. If you have a cat, so if you live without a cat, you are 40%, your risk of death from a heart attack increases 40%.
If you live without a cat.
If you live without a cat, your risk of death from a heart attack increases 40%.
Well, what am I doing? I need to get a cat, apparently.
And that's, doctors will prescribe.
Will like, prescribe a cat.
Get a cat.
Okay.
That I think is nuts.
That's a mind-boggling statistic that it's that high. I guess is this is because you're going to be less stressed by having a cat around, or
I think it goes back to exactly
this is correlation, but we don't know exactly what the cause is.
Yeah, I think that it goes back to there's so many things. So with they say that with heart attacks, I am completely going off script here. Mm-hmm. So if I'm wrong, forgive me for any doctors out there. But my assumption would be that if it lowers your anxiety and stress levels, that is going to help increase blood flow, lower blood pressure. There's improvement in your feelings of well-being. So it improves your sense of purpose, your confidence. It eliminates loneliness, or at least decreases it. So all of those things that are a factor in our heart health, if it's, walking, playing, any of these things that we do with our pets are going to increase our heart rate, so I think there's a lot of truth to that. Just 40% is insane.
Okay. Yeah. That's a shockingly high number.
Yeah.
Reduction rate.
So all those
rate.
Non-cat owners, are you going to be coming to the shelter today?
Okay. To get more specific, break it down. How do animals help different like age groups, different types of people?
So, we can talk about. Children. So companion animals are associated with improved social skills, empathy, classroom behavior.
Okay.
For children who, or I don't know if it's children or people in general who are autistic, they have shown improvement in talking, physical contact, smiling, laughing, and making, looking at faces. I know.
Very interesting.
And then they also showed with children who are on the autism spectrum, they show a reduction in the caregiver stress and better family functioning when there's a dog in the home.
Okay. How about the opposite end of the age spectrum?
Oh, I have one more.
Oh, you do? For children?
For children.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So it reduces childhood allergies.
Children, this I've heard.
Yeah. Children with pets have the higher ability to fight off allergens.
Yeah. I have heard that, and I do kind of regret not having or being around an animal with my child, I thought. But so far, so good.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like he's having any allergic reactions when he is around animals.
That's good.
Yes. Hopefully we dodged a bullet there. Anyway. So fewer allergies for children who grow up around animals.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when we think about adults and especially seniors, we have, I think that's been in the news, we have a loneliness crisis.
Yeah.
And I know with my parents and seeing people who are aging and how isolating that becomes. Not able to, get out of the house as much as they used to. Friends are dying. Their children are really caught up in their own lives, and especially because at that point it's, you know, their peak of their lives. They're, you know, the children are busy with their children, and having an animal gives them a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. It gets them out of the house. It allows to have this constant feeling of love and appreciation. So there's more, it represents healthy aging, includes emotional stability, and provides social engagement. So even for people who might have behavioral health challenges where they are scared, really, of talking to people or being social, if they have a dog and they go for a walk, then when they're talking to people, they're talking about the dog and not about themselves. So there's an increased level of socializing because it's not about them.
Yeah.
So it does benefit. This is what we, when we went to, you know, city councils to talk about the importance of having, allowing dogs in parks, this was part of that reason, was that if we have parks that allow dogs, it gives people a reason to leave their home and go for that walk with their dog and get out of the house.
Yeah. Are dogs allowed at, they're allowed at most parks in the city, right? Not City Beach.
Yeah, I know Memorial for sure.
Yeah.
And then City Beach, I believe they changed the rule that in the winter they can walk on the path, but not in the summer. And then I think that Travers may have opened to being dogs on leash on the path. The only like official dog park in the area is in Ponderay, next to...
Right next to you.
Yeah, next to the animal shelter that's run by the Ponderay City. And then I think that you can bring your dog to Mikinik, the base. Mm. But that's... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like most of the... I think... I don't know what the rule is at... there's a couple other parks in the area, and I think most of them do have the little dog, you know, the doggy bag thing at the
Oak start of the Street, path. I think, is another one.
Hickory.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep. But anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent there.
Yes, and for pet owners, dog owners in particular, when you walk your dog in the snow, poop does not evaporate. You still need to pick it up.
Yes. Good note. Good note. Yes. Please do pick up after your animals. Let's see. You're talking about the health benefits. Further health benefits for either physical health benefits or mental health benefits. Did we go through the whole list of physical health benefits? Your small print list?
That's right. Mm. I mean, the only other one I think we didn't touch on is just the improved mental health. So reduced symptoms of depression and enhanced emotional well-being. All of this, I mean, we also need to just touch on veterans and trauma. But for, like, at Better Together, we again believe that we're a resource to our community. And so just this last year, we had, I believe it was at least 3 different moms who called us because their adult child needed to go be admitted for behavioral health reasons. Mm-hmm. And we housed and watched their dog. It's called Temporary Loving Care, a program that's funded by donors. And if you can imagine that a person is having a crisis and they have to go seek treatment, but in order to do that, they have to have somebody watch their dog. Mm-hmm. And what we found in working with Dr. Joe Wassef here in town was that a lot of people, because of their mental health crisis or challenges, do not have a large friend or social network, and they wouldn't go seek treatment because they'd have to give up their animal. Mm-hmm. So we provide a safe place where we'll watch their animal while they're getting treatment so that we can ensure that that family stays together, because I can't imagine the stress and trauma of having to let go of your animal simply because you need to go take care of yourself.
Yeah. The TLC program.
Yep.
Okay. Is there more information about that people can find on your website or anything? Or
people? I believe so. Like probably. Our website has so much information.
Yeah.
It's bettertogetheranimalalliance.org. If you go on there, we have our programs and it lists out all the services. It's not a guarantee. It's based on capacity. But we do what we can.
Yeah. Let's see, what more can we say about health benefits as far as just everyday, I don't know.
So I think everybody knows, there's so much in the news about it, is that veterans with PTSD paired with service dogs makes a huge impact for them and lowers their symptom severity and provides a higher quality of life. I just met a gentleman in the lobby of the care center, and he had a dog with him. And he said the dog kind of innately, he didn't train the dog, but innately knows to go behind him, and he watches his back. So when somebody is coming, I don't remember what he said, but he alerts him that there's someone behind him. So the ability to be out in public and know that he's always has his back watched is a life-changing service for him. And so you see a lot of people, I know that, you know, we as a just, I think society tend to grab on to stories that are, well, and news is entertainment. So they're sharing negative stories, but not every person out there that has a service animal is trying to get away with something. So a lot of them have medically necessary service animals that are providing a really big service, and that could be people who are diabetic that will alert their owners, people who have all sorts, epileptic. These dogs are there to alert them to make sure they have a full life.
We're talking to Mandy Evans, the executive director of the Better Together Animal Alliance, and we have about 10 minutes left here to bring other health benefits, any other health benefits you want to call to our attention right now if having animals?
Yeah, the only other thing is workplace and community impact, that having pets at work can boost morale, improve collaboration, and reduce workplace stress. So there you go.
Okay. So having a dog around would help us here perhaps at the radio station.
Yeah.
We kind of do. It's not our dog, but one of the other businesses here in this building has a dog that will occasionally come in and sniff my lunch.
Say
or something.
Hi.
Yeah. If I leave the door open and I'm eating something smelly. And it's, but a very friendly, well-behaved dog. And it's nice.
Yeah.
It just feels a little, I don't know. Makes it feel a little more casual.
Yeah, fun, right? Like, yeah. So I can't tell you that these two things correlate, but the care center is open 6 days a week. And so if you are unable to have a cat, you can go into our cat rooms and just hang out with a cat.
It's a fun time.
Yeah, and it makes a difference, I think, for the cats, for sure. We love to see the community in there. And then we have a program called Hounds on the Town, where you can call in the morning and set up an appointment and take one of our dogs out for the day on a hike or on a walk. We have specific dogs that are okay with that. And then also, you know, volunteering at the shelter, thrift store makes a huge difference.
How else can people help? If people volunteering at the, people can volunteer at the thrift store. Are you ever looking for more volunteers to work in the shelter as well?
Oh yeah. So most people are coming to us because they want to work in the shelter.
Yeah.
But the thrift store is always needing more assistance and people.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can reach out to us, go to the front desk, look at our website. We have tons of different opportunities for volunteers. We have a whole dog walking crew. There's a lot of training that goes into that. But it turns out a really great group of dedicated people. And then donating is always huge. I mean, we say that you're donating to help dogs and cats. You're just doing it through us. But we can't do the work we're doing without the community support. Another huge thing you can do is share social media. So if you see Axel on there, share it on your page so he's spread far and wide, along with all of our other animals. We have a great Instagram account. And then donating items to the store, buying items from the store, and then sharing our programs with people. We are always open to giving tours. If you want to know more about what we do, we'd love to take you on a tour.
Okay. Well, the Better Together Animal Alliance, the largest animal shelter in our area and busiest, I would guess, as well. And Mandy Evans, you've been there for 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nutty.
Kind of a milestone.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about, you know, how 2025 was different from other years, but as any big shifts that you've seen happen in these 15 years come to mind? How things have changed since you got started, back then it wouldn't have even been called the Better Together Animal Alliance.
Nope.
Was it? The
Panhandle Animal Shelter.
There you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some people are confused that we were taken over by corporate or, you know, we're still the same nonprofit and it's just we changed the name.
Yeah.
Because we're so much more than an animal shelter and we serve a larger area. Mm-hmm. Because we have our home-to-home program that helps 95,000 animals throughout North America. So, mm-hmm. What I've seen is different. I think community sentiment on rehoming has definitely changed, which is great because the animal shelter, we will do our best to care for animals, but it's not the best place for pets. So going from one home to another is always mm-hmm. the best option. And then definitely seen an increase in kittens and puppies over the years. And then we've just gotten better. I think a lot of our systems have been improved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you and the spaying and neutering is a service that you offer.
Yes.
I mean, as kittens and puppies increasing, is this a sign that people aren't getting their dogs and cats spayed and neutered as much anymore as they used to?
Yep.
Is that so? That's kind of on the downward trajectory.
Yes.
Which is a little surprising.
Well, and I like
to me anyway.
Yeah. A few years back, I remember attending a session mm-hmm. at the national conference about the shortage of dogs and cats mm-hmm. And that was projecting what was potentially going to happen and what would we do about that? Because in the Northeast, mm-hmm. it's actually really hard to find a cat to adopt. Hmm. So then 2020 happened and increase in veterinary care, the decrease in veterinarians, all of these things happened where now mm-hmm. we're seeing the shift back to really putting a lot of emphasis on spaying and neutering.
Yeah. When's the last time that dog catchers were commonly a public employee? Do you have any idea?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Like large cities have animal control officers.
Yeah.
In our community, we don't. Sandpoint has their community resource officers that will pick up dogs.
Yeah.
During work hours.
I guess what I was thinking of is kind of it seems like days of yore when you would have just kind of packs of stray animals or, you know, where a stray dogs was a problem that, you know, had to be regularly dealt with.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like that's something that regularly occurs anymore in this country. Or at least in this area, but
we don't have like large free roaming packs unless you're on like the Indian reservation. Still have challenges with that,
yeah.
But mainly, a lot of dogs are fenced yards and inside.
Yeah. Anyway, well, let's see. We're drawing to a close. We've already, I think, mentioned the contact information. People probably know where the Better Together Animal Alliance is. I will say one more time that if people might not know about that you can just go and visit the cats.
Yes.
Which is very cool.
And if you go onto our website on the homepage, there is an appointment area for spay and neuter. Mm-hmm. Because I think that some people are assuming that they can't afford it and mm-hmm. we are here to help you. So if the cost is too high, please give us a call. It's 208-265. Oh, my God. Now that I said it, all of a sudden I started questioning myself.
I'll find it.
208-265-7297. There you go. And ask us, because we really encourage people to get their animals spayed and neutered. We believe that that's actually what most people want. And then we're always looking for veterinarians who know high volume and can come in and assist us.
Do you know what is? I have no idea what the cost of spaying or neutering is. Do you have do you know what that is usually? What's the ballpark
for that? Oh my gosh! See, Jack throwing out the hard questions. All right, I'm going to guess that a cat is going to be like 50 plus. And it might be 60 plus, and then a dog. It just depends on the size.
Interesting. Okay. It's depends on the size of the animal.
And if it's a boy or a girl.
Okay.
Because the complications are different. But just take a peek. Mm-hmm. If you know people who haven't spayed or neutered and that's why, just reach out to us. We want to help.
Okay. Mandy, thanks so much for being here and talking to us about animals. What a fun topic. How nice. Are you happy over there at the BTAA?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's stress-free.
I was going to say, based on the statistics.
Yeah. You're going to live forever. That's great. Okay. This is 88.5 KRFY Pondere. And thanks for listening to The Morning Show. We'll turn it over to Bird Note. And thank you again, Mandy Evans, Executive Director of the Better Together Animal Alliance, for being here this morning.